Welcome to Diplomatic Dispatch, a podcast by Radio Canada International on rcinet.ca.
We did not take action to start a war.
Крим – це наше общее достояние.
I have a simple message for you. On behalf of 35 million Canadians, we're back.
Hello, I'm Levon Savuns. Diplomatic Dispatch is a new podcast series by Radio Canada International. My goal is to bring you insights into Canada's foreign, defense, and development policy. I'll discuss Canada's role through interviews with policymakers, former and serving diplomats and soldiers, academics and experts, humanitarian workers, civil society activists and entrepreneurs. This is episode 2, Foreign Policy Through the National Security Lens, and Does Canada Need Its Own Foreign Intelligence Service?
Hi, I'm Richard Fadden. I'm a retired federal public servant from Canada. My last job was as a national security advisor to the Prime Minister. Before that, I worked in national defense and CSIS and immigration. My background is in the law.
What brings you here? What are you hoping to achieve by, you know, participating in this summit?
I think one of the real challenges for Canadian policy with the world is that we tend to look at it in silos. We talk about foreign policy or defense policy or development policy or security policy. And if there's one thing I learned as National Security Advisor was that prime ministers don't think about the world in that way. They think about it in an integrated way. So one of my hobby horses, for lack of a better way of putting it, is that I try and articulate the view that if we're going to be effective in projecting Canada and having influence around the world, we have to use all of these tools, foreign policy, defense policy, security and development policy, in a coordinated way. In some countries, there will be more emphasis on trade than on development, but that doesn't matter. I would argue that over the years, it's one of the things Canada has not done as well as it could have. We tend to look at a lot of countries, not the core countries but that we deal with, but other countries in a single purpose sort of way. Like we've decided this country, we want to talk trade. This country, we want to talk defense or whatever.
We're waiting for answers on how Saudi Arabia intends to go forward with the relationship.
And in my experience in dealing with other countries, they don't like that. They would rather have a holistic and a comprehensive relationship with Canada. And I think that resonated with me a lot because we don't like it when other countries do that to us.
During your speech at the Conference of Defense Associations Institute earlier this month, you spoke about four meta issues that are facing Canada and Canadian national security, and I'm guessing foreign policy is included in that. Can you elaborate on those four meta issues?
Meta issues, to start off with, are issues that affect other issues, just so that we understand one another. And I think there are four significant ones. The first one is the rise of revisionist states. By revisionist, I mean states that are very unhappy about their status in the world and they want to change these.
Сегодня необходимо прекратить истерику, отказаться от риторики холодной войны и признать очевидную вещь. Россия самостоятельный, активный участник международной жизни. У нее, как и у других стран, есть национальные интересы, которые нужно учитывать и уважать.
The two main ones are Russia and China. They really aren't happy. They're prepared to use virtually any means short of war to get their goals. And I think that virtually any other policy by any other country today has to deal with the fact that these two countries have a different perspective, and we have to find a way of dealing with it. The second one is what I call a dysfunctional West.
The House has voted repeatedly to leave the EU, and yet it has also voted repeatedly to delay leaving. It is voted for negotiations, and today, I'm afraid, it has voted to stop, to scupper any serious negotiations.
I don't think the West generally is as coordinated as it could be. We don't have a common understanding of what kind of threat China and Russia present to the West. We tend to deal with them bilaterally, except when there's a sort of a major issue like trade or something of that nature. So I think Russia and China are taking advantage of the fact that the West isn't talking with a single voice, by which I don't mean that one country should be able to articulate a broad policy and we all have to follow it. But I don't think NATO, for example, is doing as well as it could be to bring together the various Western countries. The third meta issue was what I call radicalization to violence.
They huddled in the aisles, hid on the ground and between clothing racks, while a man with a long gun stalked them through the store.
He didn't say anything. He walked in and started shooting at everybody.
By that I mean old-fashioned terrorism, but also right-wing extremist violence. And I made a point of including this because I don't think it's gone away. It's true that we haven't had any major 9/11 kind of event in North America. There have been a lot of significant events in Europe over the years, and in the developing parts of the world, terrorism and insurgency is a day-to-day problem, and you can't ignore it. It's something that governments can't ignore, because the objective of terrorism is to terrorize, and when populations are terrorized, governments have to do something, and it diverts resources and attention. And the third one, or the fourth one rather, was all things cyber.
It happened last week. Hackers infiltrated this Toronto hospital's computer systems with an ominous warning: your business is at serious risk. A malicious software called Ryuk blocked access to all information, including healthcare records and patients' charts. Michael Guerin Hospital went into what's called a code gray.
I think you can range from cyber war to cyber propaganda, cyber crime and cyber espionage. I don't think we've got our heads around this all yet. So that in dealing with all sorts of issues, let me just take nuclear proliferation as a substantive issue. Cyber propaganda on the part of other countries about what this is and is not is a significant issue. It affects the kind of policy conversations we can have and the kind of negotiations we have. So, you know, somebody might have added climate change, because I think it's a pretty significant issue. My thinking about these four meta issues was short to medium term, and I don't think climate change has quite reached that level yet, but I would be willing to argue that in a few years it will.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Diplomatic Dispatch, a podcast by Radio Canada International. Check out our other podcasts on rcinet.ca. You can also download them on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You spoke also about the need for a clear-eyed policy or a clear-eyed examination of this threat. What do you mean by that?
I think generally speaking, Canadians don't feel terribly threatened. We have three oceans and we have the United States. So I think amongst the nations of the world, we're blessed almost beyond description. We really are fortunate. I don't think that's realistic. It's certainly not realistic in the cyber world, because there are no borders and we can be as attacked as easily as anybody else. And I don't think it's true in the kinetic world, because we've had trouble with terrorists. But that's at a fairly modular level. But I think the more important issue that I was trying to get at is that we have to be clear-eyed about our position in the world. I think after World War II and during the Cold War, we were one of the ranking middle powers. It made sense. There was the United States taking the lead. I think the world has changed so much now that I'm not sure the concept of a middle power in the same way applies. There are so many countries now that could be called a middle power that it sort of becomes a bit artificial to talk about middle power. So I just think we need to rethink how we fit in. I think the United States' withdrawal from leadership, not totally, but to a considerable extent, means that if we're a middle, we don't have anybody on top. So I think it basically means that we have to acknowledge that while we are blessed beyond words, we have a lot of resources, intellectual and physical and otherwise, we're going to have to rethink a little bit how we deal with the rest of the world. And that means acknowledging we ain't going to do a heck of a lot on our own. We have to really work even harder than we have now to develop coalitions of like-minded countries to try and move files. And that implies in my mind at least, we have to work harder at coming up with priorities, because I don't think it's something Canada does particularly well. We try very hard to deal with a full range of issues, the full range of countries, yet we don't always allocate the resources necessary to do that. So we have to have priorities, we have to acknowledge we can't do things alone, and we have to look at the world as it is, not as it was.
So moving on to these priorities, in your eyes, what are the priorities, or one or two or three that Canada really needs to take very, very seriously and try to move on?
That's a very difficult question to answer, because depending upon your perspective, you can come up with any number. For the longest time, I thought it was terrorism. I don't think we can ignore terrorism, but I wouldn't put it at the top. I think I would put, give you two. One is having to deal with all of the threats relating to cyber. I don't think we have our heads around this. You know, for example, cyber theft or cyber espionage, $1 trillion a year is stolen, largely by countries, and we haven't come to grips with this. I think the other one I would put on the list now would be nuclear proliferation.
Donald Trump is also watching North Korea this morning. Leader Kim Jong-un signaling his country could resume nuclear testing. And he's also warning that Pyongyang is developing a new strategic weapon.
For some time now, we haven't worried a lot about nuclear proliferation. The United States is withdrawing from a number of agreements with Russia. We have North Korea, totally unpredictable, with at least some nuclear weapons. I'm not sure that India and Pakistan are quite as safe from a nuclear perspective as they once were. Iran remains a major problem from a nuclear perspective, and if they go too far, I'd be very surprised if Saudi Arabia wouldn't do something on the nuclear side. So I would add nuclear proliferation to my concerns about cyber issues.
So what would be Canada's role in this?
That's hard to say in a general sort of way, but I think we need to start saying to the world that nuclear proliferation is a problem, because right now not very many people are saying that. I know that there are any number of countries in, say, the Nordic states, for example, Japan, there are a number of countries, Australia, who share this kind of concern about the proliferation of nuclear weapons. We need to get together with them. We need to raise these with the permanent members of the Security Council. We need to raise them with other nuclear powers. We need to start making a fuss to pushing both privately and publicly. I think we have to, more than anything else, make the world realize that while the Cold War sort of pushed down the possibility of nuclear war, nuclear holocaust, the fact now that there are more than a half dozen countries with nuclear weapons, not all of whom are as well controlled as, say, the United States and the Soviet Union was, raises the issue of a possible accident or possible use of tactical nuclear weapons. So we got to make a fuss about it to begin with.
We'll be right back. I want to ask you something that is hasn't been talked about during this conference, but it comes from, directly touches upon your past experience. A lot has been made about the need to redefine Canadian foreign policy. How much emphasis or how much talk there has been that, along with foreign policy, maybe Canada should start looking at also foreign intelligence. Mm. That's also part of the redefining and looking at national security and foreign policy.
Yeah, it's a good question. When I was a very junior officer many, many moons ago, I wrote a paper on the need for Canada to have a foreign intelligence service. And at the time, I concluded, and I think my superiors agreed, that it was so expensive, and it was at the height of the Cold War, we were getting most of the intelligence we needed, that we said, we're not going to do it. You do know, I'm sure, that CSIS is authorized to operate abroad, and they do collect foreign intelligence. I think I'd argue that we need to collect more foreign intelligence through a variety of means. I'm not sure it warrants the creation of a foreign intelligence service because it's extremely expensive. The Australians, for example, have one, the Australian Secret Intelligence Service, but they've made the conscious decision to concentrate in Asia. And that way they don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. So I don't think right now the Canadian public would buy into it, either from a policy perspective or from a monetary or financial perspective. But I do think if you're going to have a foreign policy, a defense policy, and a security policy of your own, you need to have as many sources of foreign intelligence as you can gather. And I'm not sure that Foreign Affairs, Defense, CSIS, and everybody else is as coordinated as they could be. I'd give them more resources, but I wouldn't create a standalone service.
How about situations where we have the Five Eye intelligence sharing? For example, right now, Huawei is a huge file on this, and one of the threats is that we might be cut off from that, at least part of that Five Eye intelligence sharing system if we adopt. So, and threats like this might come in the future that we don't know or haven't thought about it. So how much thought has been put into developing something that might replace Canada's ability to collect foreign intelligence in case we get cut off from one of these existing channels?
I think probably a great deal, but let me preface that by saying something that may surprise some people. Foreign intelligence is intelligence about the plans, the operations, and the capabilities of foreign states. And I was once told by a director of the CIA that approximately 95% of the foreign intelligence he used was available publicly. It wasn't always easy to get at, but it was publicly available. So I think it's that 5% that we have to worry about, and that 5% is by and large foreign operational intelligence. You know, what's going on in negotiation? Is there possibly a terrorist attack? It's fairly short-term and short-lived. I think it would hurt us if we didn't have access to that. But going back to your question about the Five Eyes, if we don't deny access to our 5G network to Huawei, I think it will annoy the United States quite significantly. And it may or may not result in reduction in the sharing of intelligence. I do not think, though, that they would ever not tell us if there was a threat against Canada that they had access to, then we didn't. Any more than if we acquired intelligence or information about an attack on the United States, no matter how bad our relations might be, we would share that. So I don't think it should be allowed to happen, and I hope it doesn't, but I don't think it would be the end of our existence.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
That was Richard Fadden. He's the former National Security Advisor to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. He also served as the head of the Canadian Security Intelligence Service, or CSIS. You've been listening to the second episode of Diplomatic Dispatch. Tomorrow, I'll be speaking with Kate Grantham. She's an international development consultant and the Vice President of the Canadian Association for the Study of International Development. If you have any questions or comments, you can send them to us by email. Our email address is english@rcinet.ca. And if you speak French, Spanish, Arabic, or Mandarin, make sure to check our other podcasts on rcinet.ca. You can also download them on Apple, Google, or Android podcasts, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can also sign up for our Cyber Magazine to receive a daily selection of stories from Radio Canada International and Eye on the Arctic. That's our circumpolar news collaboration project with public and private media outlets around the Arctic region. I'm Levon Savunts. Hope to see you tomorrow.